Everything I will say will apply to dating as well. Okay.
I trust you.
Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and thank you for joining Dana and I's podcast called Beautiful Mess. And we've wanted to do this since the beginning of March. Quarantine set us back some. But thank you. We have amazing guests today. We have Dr. Joe Dowling, and he is the mental health sports coach with the Eagles and UPenn men's basketball. And I have Dr. Gustor. He's a serial entrepreneur and also a doctor. He's a radiologist. We have John. He's our millennial quarantine dater. I'll have Dana take over from here.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so excited. Again, like Jen said, we have been hoping to do this since the beginning of March, actually right before we went under the stay-at-home order. We were supposed to start this. It's all about ripping off the masks and, you know, understanding the way that, you know, people think and people feel and all different perspectives. And so I'm really excited to be real with all of you today.
We're going to start with Dr. Joe and sports. Obviously, men are going crazy. Women too, but mostly men. And there was a meme I saw that it took only a pandemic to get women to get their husbands and boyfriends to stay home. So how can you reflect on what's going on right now? And what are you doing now with the Eagles to kind of to keep them mentally sane?
Well, as much as possible, we're working over Zoom. I've made a number of videos. And what I'm emphasizing is to acknowledge how hard this time in the world is. A lot of times people feel they have to go immediately to positivity. That's not going to work. You have to acknowledge how this sucks, how difficult this is. And I've worked with so many people one-on-one and with the Eagles and the teams at the University of Pennsylvania where people, they're sometimes feeling guilty because they have to be positive. And I'm saying, no, you need to focus first and foremost on your authentic emotions and acknowledge how difficult this is, and then understand why it's so difficult, because so many deeply seated values are being ripped away from us, just our everyday life, you know, what you're used to doing. If you're a professional athlete, you're not able to work out with your teammates and your friends. So acknowledging that your values are being temporarily taken away. And what I'm really emphasizing is utilizing this time. One thing I've been saying to teams is this is the ultimate accountability right now, right? You can utilize the pandemic to get into the best shape of your life mentally and physically. So that's something that I recommend everyone wake up in the morning and jot down 3 or 4 positive intentions and then close their eyes and imagine themselves enacting the intentions. So just some things to center people and get them into the moment. These are techniques I also use with my clients who are not athletes. So I could go on and on. I'll hit the pause button.
Dr. Joe, do you feel like athletes suppress a lot of their struggles out of fear of judgment?
I do. I think it's amazing they get to the highest level in their profession. I mean, it's 0.0001% of athletes make it to the professional ranks. And some of them will get really unwittingly obsessed with what everyone thinks of them, and then with social media and the judgment there. So a lot of the work I do is resetting them to focus on being their best self. And one phrase I use frequently is you have to be willing to make mistakes, right? You have to go out there and just let it rip, do the best you can. And then you have an opportunity to learn from it. After you make the mistake, not worry about making the mistake, worrying about the judgment.
Interesting. And they must feel a lot of anxiety. I know I do and a lot of people do, but especially when you're on that level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's heightened. It's amazing. And, you know, it's the classic story with professional athletes, family members who are now experiencing them differently and reaching out to them for economic needs and things like that. They feel at times they feel betrayed or abandoned. And there's so many more variables that happen with a professional athlete than a college athlete.
That's a good transition into dating. I've seen also, going back to the meme world, a lot of funny jokes on there's going to be a lot of single men and women available after this because there will be a lot of divorce in quarantine, or they get to know each other and they can't deal with each other. Are you noticing any trends with that? Are people reaching out to you more because of what they're going through in terms of living with their spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend?
Yeah, I recommend to, I was talking to the University of Pennsylvania women's basketball team this week, and that was coming up a lot, and everyone set the goal not to hurt their family members physically. So it was pretty funny. Just it's tough, you know. I talk about in families, we get to see each other at our very, very best and our very, very worst. Now being on top of each other 24/7, we're going to see a lot more of the worst. So I always recommend do something different, be creative, but make it quirky, make it funny. The person, don't take the bait all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, respond differently in a way where you can get a reaction mm-hmm. from someone, but they like it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always feel like, you know, conflict is common, but resolution is required. You know, for me, I went through a divorce years ago and I'm remarried. To Jen's point with the meme, how do you support the couples during this time? Because like, I feel like stress under any difficulties can only make the problems bigger. And, you know, how do you know if it is a toxic relationship or is it quarantine anxiety?
Well, you know, I haven't worked with enough couples to really give mm-hmm. The answer that you may be looking for. I've worked with a couple, some people who are dating and one couple in particular. And it's a matter of giving each other a well-deserved break mm-hmm. in this time, right? Let's put everything on hold and we're not going to make any rash decisions right now. And of course, it depends on the dynamics with the particular couple in order mm-hmm. to really elaborate on that. But I'm really stressing, we're in this together right now. Let's get through this. And then when the dust settles, you can take a look at perhaps do some more intensive therapy and find out about the relationship and if you want to continue with it.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Gustorf, can you openly talk about your past relationships and just how you've overcome them?
How much time do we have?
Not as much as you want.
Well, I've been divorced just about 5 years, and it's been an interesting time. I got divorced or I got separated when I was 45. I'm now 50, and dating has evolved in a way that I could not have expected. You know, when you're 45, fresh out of a marriage, you have certain expectations, and they don't pan out the way that you expect them to. People want to introduce you to their friends. They want to introduce you to their cousins. They want to introduce you to people that they went out with, but it didn't work out with them. So here you have a shot at it. And then there's the whole world of online dating, which is a whole world in and of itself, which is very, very interesting. So there have been some amazing experiences that I've had. I've really, really met some incredible, wonderful people. Highly evolved and intelligent. And then I've met people that presented themselves one way, but after a few dates, they turn out to be somebody totally different. And it's like sometimes you take one step forward and then two steps back. And that instills a sense of, I guess, caution. And it kind of closes you up a little bit. And of course, that's not fair to the next person you meet, who very well may be a very, very fine person, but they exhibit a certain behavior or say a certain phrase that reminds you of somebody mm-hmm. that was an absolute lunatic. And unfortunately, you characterize that person then in the same bucket that you characterize the previous person. So I think having gone through a divorce, and Dana may be able to relate to this, there are certain wounds that you have, and with good coaching and good therapy and with time, certainly coaching and maybe therapy from someone the likes of Dr. Joe, you can heal those wounds and you actually can be emotionally available again. But my belief is until you get to that spot when you are healed and those wounds are fairly scarred over, that's really when you can start to look for love and look for that right person so you can share your heart with that person. Mm-hmm. In the 5 years, I think there's been one person I've been able to do that with. And it was a wonderful, wonderful relationship. It's not a relationship that it's not with the person that I think I can spend the rest of my life with. But that's not to say I can't love again and that I didn't experience love again. But it is challenging in the post-divorce world, certainly in the quarantine world, when you are relying so heavily on internet dating and you don't really get to see the person in a way that you would ordinarily. You can go for a walk in Valley Forge Park. You can go for a walk along the river downtown. But aside from holding hands, and what else can you really do that's considered safe? So that's really changed the dynamic.
To that point, you know, do you feel like the coronavirus has changed the dating game for the better or for the worse?
Well, it's interesting, Dana, because I think better in some ways and worse in others. I think it forces people to really have conversations and get to know each other on the personality-wise side, intellectual-wise side, and really determine if you are compatible based on common interests, common experiences that you've had together, whether or not your past is something that is of interest to someone else's past, meaning their past experiences. You actually get to know somebody up here and you see if there's a connection between the heart and the and the brain. The missing side is, of course, the physical part, which is incredibly important. So I would say for the better part, you actually get to know somebody from a cerebral and from, you know, see if there's a connection in those ways. But I think for the worst, because there's got to be some kind of physical connection that you feel that can propel a relationship forward.
Because you could base a relationship off of the virtual, and then, you know, in 2 months when we're out of this, meet them and not feel that physical connection.
So. Right. And you know, in the pre-quarantine world, you can go out to a bar and find somebody and go home with them and think that, you know, they're the cat's meow. But then you get to know them and you're like, no, I thought you finished eighth grade. But then there are other people that you really match on an intellectual basis. You know, you have an equal that you agree somewhat on enough on politics. You agree enough on social issues. Your core values are in line. And then you meet them. And to your point, it doesn't jive physically. So I think the mixed bag, it's better in some regard, and it's limiting. It's limiting in others.
I'm looking forward to just possibly meeting someone, if I do, say this summer, and not dealing with like the outside influences. So if the bars aren't open, at least, you know, and maybe there's takeout, but we're allowed to be out more with one another, that we could get to know someone without kind of like the extra BS that's around it, if it happens.
I like that, Jen, because there's so many distractions, you know, that they could do in their own free time with going out with like the guys or vice versa with the other women, their friends, and the pictures. And I know John will like this, the gram, right? All the photos that go up on there. And I just think it's like a facade. And so right now you're able to connect on a different level. So
agreed.
I would agree.
Yep. So John, do you want to talk about what, I don't know if you're on online dating. I am. I'm on probably a few sites, but I can tell you my experiences, but we really want to hear about yours. So how are you online? Are you going through it now?
Yeah, no, I definitely put myself out there in that regard. I think now you have to, because you can't go anywhere. So, and obviously me being single now for almost 5 years, I've always made myself vulnerable, put myself out there on various sites. I've been on and off of them because I get kind of tired of the same old, same old. I feel like the struggle that I've had in my personal experience is the lack of depth that people have. I think my generation, the young millennials and millennial generation, they rely heavily on their phones and devices, and they hide behind, social media aspect. So you talk about Instagram, talk about Facebook, you know, putting on that facade, right? And you mentioned that, and that is entirely accurate in my experience. So I think that the struggle that I've always had is, you know, I always describe it this way. So someone tells you I'm disciplined, or I'm a hard worker, or I'm a family oriented individual. Well, to me, congratulations, you possess the fundamental basics of being a decent human being. So that allows you to get to the front door. So if I'm going to open the door and allow you into my safe place, I need the beyond the surface, right? So loyalty, yeah, great, that's fine. But that's what makes that special about someone. That should be the basics of being a good person. It's the depth and beyond that stuff that I feel like the millennials in my generation are really struggling to find. I know my guy friends, they do that as well. It's like they're trying to get justification from strangers. And it's like, who are you trying to impress, right? And for me, it's, you know, you meet someone and you connect with them, and you know, off the bat, and it's like, okay, cool, I can hold a conversation with them. We have similar interests. So now we have to, you know, it's like you have to have your first disagreement. You have to see them stressed. You have to, you know, be put in situations where you can observe how they're going to react to certain things, right? And then that way you're like, okay, wow, we connect on a deeper level. And, you know, if you're angry about something, which again, I've never been married, and I don't have any kids. So like, I don't have that experience to rely on, but I, you know, you definitely have disagreements when you're dating someone because you're with each other a lot. And I can't imagine what it's like now in a household where you can't go anywhere, but you know, to be able to understand beyond the surface of people and what they're dealing with, it's both men and women. And I think people hold on to what they've dealt with in the past. It's been mentioned so far, you know, letting that go, because if you can't let that go, then you're not ready to put yourself, you know, in a position to actually date. And I don't know if it's giving yourself to someone, but like, be open-minded and be willing to accept someone for who they are. And if you can't do that, then there's no business for you to be dating. And that's the problem. People want to rush into dating because they break up with an ex, they're pissed off, they want to get back at them, and they want to go out and act like a person that they're truly not. And they want to put on this facade for quote unquote the gram and do things that is just not, you know, their typical lifestyle. And it's not the person that they truly are. So I think people are scared to admit that as well.
Interesting. All good points. Dana, is there anything else you're thinking about?
I'm just thinking because I like the perspective that he has on it. I guess it's two. It's making sure that we're not painting someone else with the same brush from our past. How do you feel about that, John?
Yeah, I
I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that for me, you know, I am who I am, you know, and I have a very strong backbone. You know, me being involved in sports my entire life, you know, the coaches I've had, the teachers I've had, they were very, very hard on me. And it's not because they disliked me, it's because they wanted me to be better and continue to be better. So I have a very strong backbone. And so it takes a strong personality to be able to, I guess, deal with me, because I'm a lot to handle. And I'm okay with that. And so I don't put on this front. I'm not going to act like I'm somebody that I'm not. And I'm comfortable with that. And I'm willing to say, you know what, if you're not going to accept me for me, then I'm okay moving on, because then that's just not, the chemistry is not going to be there. I really wish that more people were willing to put that aside, you know, because I've lost friends from just not putting myself in a position where, you know what, I don't want to go out on Friday and Saturday nights all the time. Like, every single week, no, I don't want to do that. I like to wake up early. I want to go to the gym. I want to work out. And for me, finding someone that shares that same interest, those shared activities, that to me is a very big piece that's missing. I think for a lot of people, it's like they're settling for what they think is what they want, but it's not truly what they want.
I agree with that. A lot of people settle, I think. I still haven't yet, but who knows?
don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Jen, like, how has this changed for you from like the female perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on all the sites. I've talked to a lot of different people. I'm trying to think how I can explain it. I would say in the beginning, like the first month or so of quarantine, I mean, I was getting so annoyed. Every guy wants to quarantine together. They all just want to come to your house or have you go to their house. And obviously that's a no for me. I'm sure people do it. And so I feel like it's all like very like sexual, I guess. And then instead of like getting to know someone, so a lot of people will write you off, like, especially if you're just like not into it, like right off the bat. And then I don't know, it's tough. It's hard because you can't tell what people look like. And of course, being a girl, I'll try to find their social media or look at other pictures for them. Some lie. There's men that lie about their age. There's one guy I actually sent to my friends. It said he was 40.
Wait, men lie about their age? I wouldn't believe that. No way.
Is this the one that I think you're talking about?
Yeah, that it's Dana. And then he sends me a selfie. Oh, this is how we can get into a good topic. He sends me a selfie and he literally looked 68. So I stopped replying. And it's funny because my friends call him grandpa and stuff. And then
so he doesn't age well. Okay, good. Yeah.
Writing me, even though I ghosted him because I didn't know what to do. Now, I'm such a nice person that I typically respond to everyone. And I've been ghosted, but it's, and I don't like that feeling. And so I feel bad just to ghost because it's just not my personality. But
ghosting is a form of abuse. I keep telling you that.
I know, but then sometimes it's like I have to get rid of these people. So what am I supposed to do? So, and then one guy wouldn't give up. He kept writing, you ghosted me, this, that. So it can go into ghosting. And Dr. Joe, what do you think about that? I didn't like doing it, but I also didn't want to carry a conversation. So what is the proper etiquette? Do you know?
That's one of the problems with the social media. Right, it's so hard to have healthy boundaries and sit down and talk to someone. So I think there are, as I'm listening to you, Jen, I think there are appropriate times to ghost. And then this is an appropriate ghosting right here.
All right, ding, 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 good job.
But the majority of the time, hopefully, you know, you can have a quick statement or two, set those boundaries and move on.
Do you mean like, I'm sorry, I think you're too young for me, you're too old for me, or I'm sorry, I don't think this will work out, and just move on from there? Do you think so?
Yeah, I'm not interested.
That's okay. A good thing.
I need to get calls to do that.
I'm not interested in continuing this conversation. Thank you, best of luck.
Okay.
And Jen, I'll say, you know, from my perspective, if you and I, were, let's say we were to connect on one of those dating sites or apps or what have you, and, you know, we entertained conversation, and then you ultimately were like, well, I'm not sure if I'm interested, I don't know, whatever, and you didn't, like, tell me, or you said, well, I'm not interested, then I'm going to say, okay, well, she's not telling me she's not interested, I'm interested in you, so I'm going to pursue you. Now, the creepy old guy, the 68-year-old that you're referencing, all right, that's a little much, and that's unfortunate. There's a lot of people that do that, but I think transparency is a word that comes to mind where, mm-hmm. Look, if you're interested in me, great, let's see if we connect and on that deeper level. But if not, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm interested in you if I know that this isn't going to go anywhere. And whether that's me saying, look, I see us being friends, or I'm not interested in you romantically, you know, people have to be receptive to that and not take that as like a gut check, like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? That's mm-hmm. The other thing that I think people have a hard time doing is like, they don't want to hear I'm not interested. They want to do what they need to do to keep people's interested peaked. And that's where the social media comes in where, oh, I'm traveling to Florida and I'm sitting next to this beautiful car that's not mine, and I'm gonna, you know, put on a front for that. So, like, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not perfect. Again, I'm a lot to handle, but I do appreciate someone who's transparent and provides me the feedback to say I'm not interested, and then I'm gonna ask why. And I'm gonna say, hey, is it something I said, did, what is it? And if you say, well, I don't know, I just am not interested, okay, then you can't give me an answer that's actually impactful to help me, you know, understand what the issue is. Then so be it. Moving on to the next. It is what it is. Have a good day.
Right. I mean, you know, to be out there and dating, whether it's virtual, online, or real, you really need to have a strong sense of self to begin with, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, you know, imagine yourself going on 20 job interviews and getting rejected from every single one. After time, mm-hmm. You could actually have a diminished sense of self if mm-hmm. It's not strong enough, if you don't really believe in yourself. Well, imagine online dating when you put out likes to like 50 or 60 people mm-hmm. and you don't hear back from a single one of them. If you don't really have a strong sense of self and really do believe mm-hmm. in who you are, like John was saying, and you don't have a backbone, you can really start changing the way you think about yourself and what mm-hmm. is wrong with me.
Mentally and emotionally, yeah.
Right. You have to be emotionally evolved. You have to be strong. You really have to have a strong sense of self and believe in who you are. Maybe you're going after the wrong people. Maybe mm-hmm. you're not going to have a date with a 6'4 Swedish model. It's not going to happen for you.
6'4 Swedish model.
Are you saying that's what you like?
No, but I know that it's not. I know that it's not. First of all, it's nice to be seen, maybe, with somebody like that. But I know ultimately that's not what's going to make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people go after that. They think that because it's online, it's almost like a fantasy world. Let's see if I can get her to respond to me.
That's a great point.
And then you wind up going out with these people. And I have gone out with some of those people. It is, those are the, some of the worst dates I've ever had. There's nothing to talk about. If you can talk about fashion, if you can talk about handbags, you can talk about the different stores with all the shoes that she's wearing. Did you notice my dress? Do you like my perfume? You didn't compliment me on my hair. It's, that's not the kind of date that I'm interested in. And I'm totally generalizing that. Joe, don't kill me on this. But and I know it's a total generalization.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Your vibes are, if you're vibing low, you're going to find that in the room as well. You're going to find that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, mm-hmm. You got to go in. You got to go in with a positive attitude, realistic expectations. And you have to know really who you are, because who you are is going to attract somebody. Mm-hmm. I think what you're saying, Dan, is that's what you're going to attract.
Exactly.
And Gabriella Bernstein says, "What the energy that you put out is the energy that you're going to get back,"
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the energy and fun that someone emits from a great picture online, dressed up, everyone's happy, they're with their friends at a great hotel in South Beach, Miami. Try having a conversation about their future plans. What are their goals? Have they been married? Do they have kids? What struggles do they go through on a daily basis? How do they work out? That's the longevity that's going to carry you through a lifetime together.
Yep.
I call it the rocking chair. Yeah. The rocking chair versus the weekender. Really think about that. The rocking chair is who you grow old with, who you can have those in-depth conversations with. The weekender is, it only lasts a weekend.
That's a good
one. There you go.
I like that.
Dr. Joe, like what do you think about that one?
I love that. You know, I was thinking, I use the expression, people can't not communicate, right? Right. They're always communicating their energy, their vibe, and you know, they don't even realize that sometimes they're putting off this disingenuous energy, and the more evolved person is going to pick up on that. So this idea of self-relations therapy, your relationship with yourself is the most important piece. And that's the theme I'm picking up from Jonathan and John and you guys, is that you're looking for someone who has a strong relationship with themselves, and they're going to communicate that energy to you in the way they present themselves. Mm-hmm. Whether it's online or in person. But I like the rocking chair.
I love that.
Thank you.
One last thing about dating. I think online people are so disposable, and it's kind of disheartening in a way, but you can just get rid of people with a delete button.
Yeah. Swipe left and swipe right and boom, they're gone out of the picture. Until they show up
in your newsfeed somehow, because
Well, that's another issue that we might have to talk about on another day. But
yeah,
I definitely agree with that.
Somehow they do.
Yeah, for sure.
That's true.
Jen, do you have any additional points? Well, actually, I mean, even to any of you to answer this question, if you don't mind, Jen. Again, how to go back to, we're still in this quarantine. You know, how are you going about that now? How are you going about, you know, dating now?
Myself.
Yeah.
I met two people for walks, but it was like more the beginning of quarantine, but I can't really. It's a little
awkward. Gonna hold off at this point until
I think so. I mean, I would love a picnic with someone, but it would have to be the right person. So that's just me dreaming, right? So I don't know. It would be awesome to meet the right person and come up with creative things to do, but it's also hard because you're just meeting them for the first time. So I just started FaceTiming people this week, and I'm not really a FaceTimer. And I could tell you I wasn't interested in any of them. Oh my gosh, that I'm not friends with these people on social media.
This is good practice, Jen.
It's practice for me, but I think that now I learned that I think it's better to do that. And I don't know what you guys think, to do the Zoom or FaceTime, because then that way, at least you know, you can kind of tell chemistry. You can tell whether it's worth it to meet them or not. And even though it can be awkward and tiring, at least it's a quick way to know whether to meet them or not. I don't know what you guys think. I don't know if you guys do the FaceTime or Zoom with anyone, but I think I'll start doing that going forward if this keeps going through summer.
And Jen, I think that's a good point.
People that aren't doing that.
Yeah, I would say I've definitely done that. I've met people for walks. I've gone to Valley Forge Park for the walk thing. And it was, you know, recently, a couple of weeks ago, it was a 5-mile walk. We talked about a lot of stuff. And where we didn't connect was you know, political beliefs. And for her, that was a deal breaker. And that's okay.
You are very vocal about your political beliefs on Facebook.
I haven't seen
enjoy. But I think that, I mean, those are all great points, but it's also interesting because for me, I try to look at this as a positive in a way because, you know, this is a very uncomfortable situation for every single person that's involved with this, right? Quarantine is just like, this is weird. What a time to be alive. Mm-hmm. We're locked in our houses because of a virus and a disease and things like that. I never thought in a million years I'd ever see something like this. But when you sit here and talk to someone for the first time over FaceTime, it is a very uncomfortable first interaction. And that's a great test for me. It's like, wow, can this person hold a conversation? Mm-hmm. Do they listen? Because listening's part of learning. And are they asking me thought-provoking questions and vice versa? So it's like, you know, little things like that make a huge difference. And I think right now, given the uncomfortable state that we're in, I think that you can try and turn this into a positive. And those FaceTimes that you do have with someone, I think that that's a way to challenge them. And then really, if they don't accept that, then you know what? Keep it moving and on to the next, because I have better things to do with my life than to worry about if you can hold a conversation with me.
Life is not a straight line, right? And so there's always going to be different turns and twists, and there's going to be challenges along the way. And I think if you can grow through those challenges together and grow in the same direction, then you got a good thing.
That's right.
Dr. Gusper, do you have anything to say about that? Are you FaceTiming with people?
I'm not pursuing dating online very aggressively because I'm not too far out of a relationship and I want to make sure that I'm ready when I do meet the right person. But I do know people that have been FaceTiming and been meeting live and going for those walks in Valley Forge or down by the river. I think it's a great idea. I totally agree with John. Got to make that connection somehow. It's got to make sense intellectually and almost, you have to be in sync. And like I said at the beginning, for many of us, particularly these days, given how divisive the country is, political beliefs are now playing a bigger part, I think, than they ever have before. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent. We're all entitled to our own opinions. But what else are we doing at home other than reading the news and seeing what is going on now, particularly in politics? And it is really skewing a lot of us, one way or the other, again, right, wrong, or indifferent, good, bad, or otherwise. So I think a face-to-face, holding people accountable for what they're saying, you know, nicely, and challenging them nicely and respectfully. I think it's really important in this day and age. And Dan, I think we were talking about this before. I think the FaceTiming, the face-to-face before a personal meeting, is actually a really good idea because
it's a good thing.
Yeah, I am
going to tell my mother-in-law that.
You absolutely should. But I did want to mention one other thing about the in-person thing. When you talk to somebody online, just like this, a bunch of people online, it's great. You get the personality and everything. When you're doing with somebody that you may have a romantic interest, you may or may not. Sometimes the meeting in person can really tip the scale one way or the other. You might meet them and it's the way that they look at you. It's the way that they smell. Maybe it's the way that they walk. Maybe it's the way that they speak. That really can put you over the edge sometimes, like in a good way. That cannot come across all the time online. You certainly don't see how they, you can't tell how they smell. You really can't tell how they carry themselves. To me, how a woman carries herself, you know, how she, and it's totally cliche, and I understand this, and Jen's gonna make fun of me for this later. It's how, you know, they toss their hair and how they look at you, and it's body language, and you really can't pick that up.
It's their aura.
It is, it's their aura. By the way, I'm a big believer in pheromones.
I do, actually, I agree with that.
Yeah, you really can't perceive certain things across a screen. So I'm not proposing to anybody online. It really takes a nice, I'm saying intellectual, not meaning that someone has to be a brainiac, but you have to be in sync on a certain level. I'm not saying that a graduate degree and a high school degree don't work. someone with a graduate degree dating someone with a high school degree. I think the love is there. If the love is there, then the love is there. But you have to sink on a certain level for the physical aspects to really kick in, at least if we're talking about something long-term. Physical stuff, if that takes priority, then you're talking about the weekender. All the other stuff, I think, leads more towards the rocking chair.
Yeah, there you go.
I love that.
I'm going to buy a rocking chair.
I think you're right? going to be posting that somewhere. You're going to put it on your profile.
I might have to do that and post that because that is a very – I love it. I think it's a great – great perspective, and everything is about perspective. So
that's what I had to. I thought about that, like when I was going through everything with 5 years ago for myself, and it was just I had to put things into those categories to not get lost.
Nice.
Well, thank you, guys. I know Dr. Joe.
Thank you so much.
And I love that you all were real. And we're gonna share this on social media if you don't mind. And we hope we all get really great input. All
right, I have to make a point of this because John has not yet. It is the season of personality, right, John?
It is the season of personality. I made a joke on my social media page that you go to the local supermarket and everyone's wearing a mask, right? That's the order that we have to follow. So I, you know, if I see someone that, wow, I think that they're really cute, I'm single, I'm
like walking
and approach them. Right, so now I see the mask and I'm like, they could be really, really unattractive for me. And so now hopefully they have a nice personality. So it was a little funny joke that I made there, but no, it's definitely the season of the personality.
It used to be, it's like, I'd like to introduce you to my friend. And you'd say, is she cute? They say, well, she's got a really great personality.
Now that's totally acceptable.
But that's the rocking chair.
Here's where we are.
That is the rocking chair.
Exactly.
There you go. So,
that's right.